people need to stop pulling the race card.
You are talking about African-American people now?
I'm talking about everybody. You had to be the African-American, the Asian.
What about Indians?
My half-brother's a Native American. There's, I mean, you people, if you wanted
now
to
you
treat
are you
people,
trying, are you trying to tell me all the, are you trying to tell me all the Indians ought to be treated the same way?
Everybody needs to just...
Dramaturgy, filmic dramaturgy, screenwriting, rules of the road, that the characters in big budget movies must be going through defining life-changing moments in their stories. That the only story,
as with all tragedies, of being real.
8:29:91, 10:55 p.m. Slow day at the track today. My damned life dangling on the hook. I am there every day. I don't see anybody else out there every day except the employees. I probably have some malady.
We'll begin our session in just a moment, Laura, but before we start, I wanted to let you know that I think we've really come a long way. As you know, our ultimate goal here is to take your different multiple personalities and to merge them into one healthy and happy individual. And Laura, I think we're making real progress.
Oh, thank you, Doctor. I want to get better so badly.
I know you do, Laura.
Hello, love. It's Mr. Snuff.
I know.
Listen. I want to ask you a question. Are you ugly?
My name is Rolando Bini. I'm running for the localization board. I'm a politically incorrect Latino immigrant and consider myself a left libertarian working within a human rights frame. I'm a vegetarian for 34 years and consider that to be vegetarian is to be progressive.
And we didn't get any results in those two crop circles, but we did get results in the Avebury stone circle during a group meditation.
Yeah.
A lot older.
Oh yeah, because he looks like a spring chicken.
No, the guy's like goes to look 20 years old, but looks a lot younger than her. And on screen, that's not gonna work.
You have
a woman who looks 20 years older than the guy. It's just not gonna work.
We all three of us know about the Rocky franchise more than that. There's a lot. And
King, blue Ananta Vijaya, conch of boundless victory. His twin brothers, Nakula and Sahadeva, blue conches, resonant and jewel tone. The king of Benares, a superb archer, and Shikundin on his great chariot, Drishtadyumna, Virata, and indomitable Satyaki, all blew their conches.
Beautiful.
Well, now listen, the reason I ask you that is because I was watching Oprah the other day and they had the program on phone sex. And every one of those girls was ugly. So I'm asking you, are you ugly?
No, I'm absolutely, positively gorgeous.
Saroyan lost his ass at the track, Fanti at poker, Dostoevsky at the wheel. And it's really not a matter of money unless you run out of it. I had a gambler friend once who said, I don't care if I win or lose, I just want to gamble. I have more respect for money. I've had very little of it most of my life. There are only two things wrong with money, too much or too little.
Ben, you too, Shorty. If I was in a better mood, I could sympathize, but I know what it's like to perish or publish. But as far as I'm concerned, now, you, Roger, robot. Oh, hello, Roger.
On the lips of the sinking gallows, women wander into doorways. On the lips of a sinking gallows, children stumble way out of rain plays on the pails in old backyards. On the lips of a sinking gallows, old folks rocking to the day's days. On the lips of a sinking gallows,
it's not entirely your fault. There has been a definite holding here. There have been elements here that have prevented you from reaching fulfillment, manipulating your actions. And they are still at it, my friends. Because you know what happens when you become conscious? They lose control of you. I do not like this much. It means less currency, I think.
Welcome to Destination Downtown, an informative walking tour through the streets and across the viaducts of the fascinating city of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, featuring tour guide Art Kumbalik. One of the best ways to get to know any city is to take a walk with a lifelong resident, someone who knows the city inside out, someone who can take you not only to the major tourist attractions and prominent historical landmarks, but also to the little-known, out-of-the-way places that give that city its special charm. Today we are honored to have just such a guide in Mr. Art Kumbalik, noted newspaper columnist, man about town, and perennial candidate for public office. We will be joining Mr. Kumbalik as he leads a group of seven retired school teachers from Wanago, Wisconsin, on a tour of Milwaukee they are not likely to forget. As you follow the tour route, be sure to wear the official ID tag that comes with your tour kit. This tag enables you to ignore with impunity any no trespassing signs or angry guard dogs you may encounter. The tag also ensures that the security guard...
Well, I suppose there's something out there we want to joggle ourselves with. And you get the feel of the other people. The desperate darkness, and how easy they toss it in and quit. The racetrack crowd is the world brought down to size. Life grinding against death and losing. Nobody wins finally, we're just seeking a reprieve, a moment out of the glare. Shit. I just burnt the end of my finger with a cigarette.
Motion pictures coincided with a powerful and profound transformation of race in the United States. It is generally referred to as Jim Crow. But recall, Jim Crow was, that is, this slight term for racial segregation. Racial segregation had not been the national protocol up until towards the end of the 19th century. with most of the black population enslaved up until the 1860s, with Native Americans largely eliminated from the population, or that is in genetic terms, are removed by reservations, with the Mexican population pretty much isolated. The notion of segregation as a legal and institutional construction was hardly necessary.
I was musing on purposelessness. That woke me up, brought me out of this sad state.
They do not want to lose the currency. They want to maintain you in a certain place.
Hell, we need humor. We need to laugh. I used to laugh more. I used to do everything more. Now, I am writing and writing and writing. The older I get, the more I write. Dancing with death. Good show. And I think the stuff is all right.
Well, the expedition coming close to close, but I'm still, of course, here. It's been over 4 months in the wilderness, and a hurricane force storm now building. Over 50 mile an hour winds, soon over 70. The bears safely heading for their dens. The work successful. I'm over 20 pounds lighter. My clothes are rags. I've tried hard.
One day they'll say, Bukowski is dead. And I'll be truly discovered and hung from the stinking bright lampposts. So what? Immortality is a stupid invention of the living.
In late July. So while we didn't get it in the crop circles, we got it during a meditation at a significant level, and actually Coast listeners can see that on the openingminds.info website, the graph of the actual random events that the generator created. So we got the anomalies in the stone circles, but not in the two crop circles. Of course, two is not really large enough of a sample to really know if anything is going on, so we'll have to do it again in the future to get more data.
So there has been much control to the element of fear.
Healing on the page is real.
Spade, S-P-A-D-E.
Manipulation for you. Keeping you in ignorance of yourself.
I bleed for them, I live for them, I die for them.
I reject life because it is a prison cell. I reject dreams as being a vulgar form of escape. Yet I live the most sordid and ordinary of real lives. A couple folders in there with a total of 750 songs, the demo songs of almost all of the bands that appear at the South by Southwest conference, and maybe a few that don't even appear there. And so I've been listening to these in a very Darwinian fashion. What I do is I take an extra chunk of them, usually about 40
40 or 50, dollop of emotion, an extra crisis that usually exists only in the backstory. And to be honest, I'm thinking right now of a movie I saw yesterday, which is The Interpreter, with Sean Penn and Nicole Kidman. And it's a very effective, standard thriller with lots and lots of nice things about it. The UN setting, the awareness of genocide in Africa, and just all those things are very nice. But one of the, if we accept the strange phenomena began to occur for the first time, come to visit them and give them some background, because Chris must be about the sun, like changing stock the matinee idol price, I guess, for theorem from that axiom, which is that most is going to go back up to the space station, maybe with the best stories, whatever in other contexts, and you won't get the warning, but who cares.
But the, power. Keeping you humiliated. Keep. Humiliated. Keeping you subjected.
Oh, Sam, forgive me. Please forgive me.
The 19th century, much of that post-slave construction of America, America's social relations,
I love this. It's tough work, but it's the only work I know, and it's the only work I'll ever want. Take care of these animals. Take care of this land.
He seems to hesitate in leaving the last frame of his own film.
Hearts change toward another human being. Their heart responds in some way.
And I think that as part of the Rocky franchise, you do not do that. At least you do it in the movie. I always felt that way about any character that's been taken off before movies get started. And at least take her off during the movie or something like that. Because in the last one, Rocky was supposed to die. And so
here's my problem. There's no need for a sixth movie. I mean, what else is he going to
do? I disagree with that. I think that there should have been it shouldn't have been now. It should have been 5 years ago. But there was a need for a sixth movie. And like I said, it should have been his son. That would have been the natural progression of the movie. His son's name was Rocky, for God's sake.
Yes.
You know?
I thought it was Kid.
Well,
now here's a question for you.
Shift in the illusion of physical reality as you create it. We will make reference, direct and indirect, to this October 28th in numerous Sunday afternoons and in numerous weekends yet to come. And so as you will allow yourself to work with what we're going to talk about, feel what we're going to talk about, and begin to understand that dominion is not just a little extra hors d'oeuvre on the plate, a little succulent something that you might enjoy, but it is very critical to what you have already demonstrated and committed yourself to, and what others who have not demonstrated and committed themselves to need also to become aware of. I was
was watching Oprah the other day and they had the program on phone sex.
The problem isn't simply that you've lost your sponsor. With Alcoa, See It Now still loses.
Mr. Paley, he is $50,000. Last week's episode we did for less than $50,000.
Fred, you're speaking beyond your competence.
We'll find another sponsor. We can certainly find someone who wants...
$64,000 question brings in over $80,000 in sponsors, and it costs one-third of what you do. Ed, I've got Tuesday night programming that's number one. People want to enjoy themselves.
That guy looks like he's about to croak anything.
I was going to say, you want to talk about some unrealistic story. I mean, this woman is thin and in shape. This fat bum is drinking and smoking 24/7. He's going to outlive her? Give me a fucking break.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we all love sequels for one reason, and that's because of the characters that we fell in love with the first time.
It's like a sequel times seven. I mean,
they don't want a civics lesson.
What do you want, Bill?
I don't
want
to get a constant stomachache every time you take on a controversial subject.
I'm afraid that's the price you have to be willing to pay.
Let's walk very carefully through these next few moments.
The content of what we're doing is more important than what some guy in Cincinnati...
What you're doing, Ed, not me. Not Frank Stanton, you.
It's an electronic door-to-door search.
CBS News, See It Now, all belong to you, Bill.
They wouldn't know it.
What is it you want? Credit?
I never censored a single program.
Every one of those girls was ugly. So, I'm asking you, are you ugly?
No, I'm absolutely, positively gorgeous.
You're beautiful.
Yes, I'm beautiful.
Well, that doesn't make sense. How can a slut be beautiful, you know? I mean, the Mona Lisa's beautiful. The Statue of Liberty is beautiful. The Grand Canyon, the first day of spring, the new fallen snow, that's beauty. But a slut is just slutty, right?
You know?
Yes.
Did you miss me?
When I took this image, which is called Red and Green Satin, I had the sensation, and have the same sensation now when I look at it, that my socks are falling down. I pretty much animate everything I look at. For instance, houses are always people, and windows are always eyes. You know, intellectually, I know that I'm looking at a house, not a person. But when I look at the house, it becomes a person. And in this case, it's actually a piling, a picture of a piling under a dock with a buoy nearby that has a reflection. But it appears to me, as I look at it, like those are my legs and I'm wearing green satin socks that have just fallen down around my ankles.
In 1968, he was a young captain preparing to teach at the Army Intelligence School in Maryland. Another officer gave Pyle a tour of the Army's domestic intelligence headquarters.
We got our passes and wound our way down through the maze of rooms inside of it.
In one room, Pyle saw a row of teletype machines chattering away as reports came in from 1,500 Army intelligence agents around the country.
These were the agents who normally did security clearances for the Army, but their secondary duty was to monitor dissent.
As his tour continued, Pyle was astonished to find Army investigators filling file cabinets with dossiers on civil rights activists.
New metaphysics. Stereo wheels. Stay on track. Regular dial. Same time next week.
Yeah, I just don't want to ruin it by making it a Hollywood thing, you know, like an Orchid Heist movie or something, you know, or
it's the regular around here. Splay it out, roll her up, go do an Indian squat in the woods, preferably on an inland island at night, and expand the old awareness apparatus. See in triple kit, record in some sort of a processed exponential and deliver it by the dozen through the marketing regs. You know what I'm talking about. Currently, for a period of time, an Apple lossless version of each show. Probably room on the server at this point for maybe two or three at a time. So if you want one of those, get them fairly soon. Of course, at this point, I'm having trouble uploading them to the server, so don't worry about it. What is it, an M4A? I forget the file type. It'll play as is on an iPod, any version of iTunes or QuickTime. And QuickTime or iTunes will easily convert it to just about anything you want, a WAVE, an AIF, an MP3 of any bitrate. Probably a couple of other things. And the regular MP3 version is now at 320, which is the max. Still a sizable sound difference between that and the lossless, which is the version I'm hearing right now.
Kind of.
I missed you. You know, I really opened up to you. I've opened my heart up to you. I trust you.
You do?
I do, absolutely. And now it's time for the good part.
I'm scared.
Well, I'll be quick, and you'll be much happier when it's over.
You know, changing the orchids into poppies and turning it into a movie about drug running, you know?
Yeah, do you realize it's going to be 15 years since the last one? I mean, that's a long time. That's a very fucking long time.
That is a fucking long time.
Was being strained. I was talking to a friend of mine recently and saying, you know, we have too often achieved an understanding of our history, of the world around us, by employing bad names, poor names, inadequate nominations. One of those inadequate nominations has to do, or many of them have to do with race and slavery. Some of you do know this.
All right. Well.
But the term slave is a derivation from the ethnic term Slav. And literally, slave means to be in the condition of a Slav.
It is a pleasure. It is a joy. Once again, to spend time with you.
I hold on to affiliates who wanted entertainment from us.
They were clipping newspaper stories about people giving anti-war speeches, even monitoring meetings at churches.
And as your journey accelerates, an old Jehovah. How it is accelerating. One of the greatest anchors, one of the greatest frictions is the past, specifically your past. Oh, so many times we've spoken, yes, indeed. So many times we've talked about letting go of that past.
I fight to keep the license with the very same politicians that you were bringing down, and I never, never said no to you. Never.
The
if you will just close your eyes, I will count down from five, and we'll see who wants to speak first today. Five, four, three, two, one.
I'm afraid.
Is this Dolores?
Yes.
Have you been, Dolores? Tell me what's going on with you.
I don't want to come here, Doctor. I don't like to leave the house. I'm safe in my house. I don't want to go outside. I'm afraid.
Why are you afraid, Dolores? What frightens you?
Leisha wants to talk to you.
Leisha? Leisha? I don't believe I know Leisha, do I?
No, Doctor.
All right, Dolores. Well, then please let me talk to Leisha.
Leisha's so brave. She's not afraid of anybody. Hi, Doc. This is Leisha.
Hello, Leisha. My name is Dr. McGill. Why don't you tell me a little about yourself?
I don't want to.
Commentary on 42 more songs, but the INJ, these INJ questions, I think they refer to the name of the group or artist rather than the name of the song. I've got those on the MP3 player now to begin a new process of listening to them.
Even in terms of crime stories, the great thing is that the HBO series The Wire, which I've been watching a lot, really does a great job of conveying the everydayness, and it also allows you to develop characters a lot better. I'm thinking about all these things. Let's see here. Probably because, you know, I'm writing a screenplay and I want to get some good characters in it, and I want to avoid what I saw the same particularly that you used to have.
Is it the same love? Is love really an emotion, or does it depend upon which is an objective relationship? My between two objectives is very valuable.
I am getting really sick of people saying that Bush is stupid. Bush is an idiot. That fucking drives me crazy. George Bush is not stupid. He's evil, okay? There's a huge difference.
I would argue that we have done very well by one another. I would argue that this network is defined by what the news department has accomplished. And I would also argue that never saying no is not the same as not censoring.
Really? You should teach journalism.
Dave?
No, man, it's me.
Oh, I'm far out. Come on in, man.
Hey, what's happening, man?
Oh, not much, man.
Hey, what are you doing?
I'm just watching TV, man.
Watching TV? Well, what's wrong with the TV?
I don't know, man. It's been like that all day, man.
Hey, well, let me mess with it, okay?
Go ahead, man.
Oh, hey, there you go.
I'm far up, man. What did you do?
I turned it on, man.
It was very clear to me that we had just witnessed the essential apparatus of a police state. And it wasn't that these people were trying to create a police state. They were very nice, decent human beings. But they were creating a reporting apparatus that would cover millions of Americans engaged in entirely lawful political activity. What I investigated back then was Bush League and amateur hour.
Midlife, we begin to see how long a cycle of growth and shift and understanding can be. in relationships that are many decades long. I was driving through a rainstorm with a friend who was crying inside the car as it was crying around us.
You and Mr. Fenwick. Let me ask you this. Why didn't you correct McCarthy when he said that Alger Hiss was convicted of treason? He was only convicted of perjury. You corrected everything else. Did you not want the appearance of defending a known communist? I would argue that everyone senses, including you.
What do you want to do, Bill?
I'm taking your program from a half an hour to an hour. And it won't be a weekly program, and it won't be Tuesday nights.
When would it be?
Sunday afternoons.
How many episodes?
Five.
Why don't you just fire me, Bill?
I don't think it's what either of us wants.
This has changed radically because of the power of computers and telecommunications.
You owe me five shows.
You won't like the subject matter.
Probably not. Fred, I'll need you for a moment.
Me lay a few people off.
I'm sure he does.
Let's do our first show about the downfall of television.
Full restrictions. Parents have to give you restrictions, absolutely so. The child who grows up with no restrictions of any sort is too wild indeed to function in the world, and that's the parent's job, yes it is, to teach you to function in the world. They must give you restrictions, but you see, what you have done is combine the parental restrictions of mother and father with the parental restrictions of teachers and authorities and older brothers and older siblings of friends and teachers, counselors and others in that regard. And all pushed and mushed them together to become this parental restriction which gives you virtually no freedom at all.
To a concept, a visualization of yourself as S. Concept. A visualization of yourself.
Amen.
As something less.
The 1990s saw CEO pay in America rise to levels that had never been dreamed of in any other country at any other time. And the explanation for this must lie in what happened with the accounting treatment of options. And here's a classic case of where corporate power in the form of CEOs and the business roundtable focused their energy on the United States Senate, first of all, and second of all, on the Financial Accounting Standards Board, to change the rules for accounting for options. After that, 1996, Senate vote, the pay of CEOs went up like a rocket because from that day on, a company did not have to charge against its earnings the options that it granted to executives, many of which went to the CEO. Now, there is the clearest case that historians will look back on, and they will say that the American government was a branch of business. The American government was a branch of business.
It is integral. And we relate that integralness to four basic points. To be a loving person. If you want to be loving and to reap the benefits of that active participation in your reality in a loving fashion, if you want to be loved and receive the benefits of that function in your reality, it is very important that you forego your attempts to dominate.
that you forego your domination. 2 points. Your attempts and the fact of your domination. For not many of you are thoroughly replete at dominating. All of you, however, are very successful at it in numerous ways. And are struggling, many of you, working very hard, others of you, to try to make it a complete domination. All the while denying it, because the word's an ugly one. But attempting it nonetheless, and succeeding, unfortunately, in certain areas. To be a loving person, to be involved in that function of loving, how can you rule and control and place yourself in an elevated position, superior to others? How can you be involved in loving, which is to immerse yourself in, and remain alienated or separate from? The two positions are not possible. To attempt them both is to stretch yourself to the point of craziness.
You announcer.
Why can't there be a movie simply about flowers?
You're listening to The Hollywood Saloon.
And why the f*** are you wasting my two precious hours with your movie?
That is, Slavs have become human property in the Middle Ages and slightly before. In a sense, this notion of the Slav as a reference for this condition of being someone else's property
The Mao Zedong Hour went on the air March 14th. It received a 47 share.
Coincided with the emergence of Europe. So in all the vulgar languages of Europe, the term Slav appears as, in effect, a reference to this condition. So in Spanish, it's esclavos. In Italian, it's schiavo. In French, esclave. And in English, of course, it's slave. All references to Slav. From our vantage point, however, and from the vantage point of most of our contemporaries, slave means African. And, of course, that compression of African enslave, or Negro enslave...
All my friends seem to be dying or having grandchildren.
...was a relatively recent phenomenon.
I have an image which I named, Weekends Are Taller Than Weekdays. And I named it that because... It's a cityscape that I took above an aqueduct. And when I look at it, it exactly matches the prototypical or archetypical pattern that I see for what a week looks like. Sunday is the biggest day and the tallest day. Saturday, which is to its left, is shorter and a little bit slanted. And then Monday through Friday are kind of squat. And they have different colors, but they're pretty much all the same height. And I can see that when I look at cityscapes. It's as if the archetypal form is underneath the architecture.
To the point of disintegration. Most definitely a frustration. Part of what is being a loving person is understanding that humanity, humankind, is basically loving, which we would suggest from the point of view of domination, from the justification of proceeding in any attempt to dominate, is untrue. The basic concept that justifies and that condones domination is the fact that humanity is unloving, that basically the human condition is that of evil, unloving, greed, self-destructiveness, elitism, and various other very negative concepts.
That's boring. Everything's boring except...
Except what, Leisha? What do you think is not boring?
Getting fucked. I suppose you find that very shocking, Doctor.
Do you want me to be shocked, Leisha?
You're not happy now, are you?
No.
You're not happy because you're a fuck slut, right?
Right.
So say that.
I'm a fuck slut.
No, no. I'm not happy because... Say it.
Is that why you said it? To shock me?
I said it because it's true. I just want to be fucked.
As for this whole CCA deal with the Saudis, you'd know a lot more about that, Frank, than I would. Is it true?
CCA has $2 billion in loans with the Saudis, and they hold every pledge we've got. We need that Saudi money bad. Disaster. This show is a disaster. Unmitigated disaster. Death knell. I'm ruined. I'm dead. I'm finished.
Maybe we're overstating Beale's cloth with the public.
An hour ago, Clarence McElhaney called me from New York. It was 10 o'clock in the east, and our people in the White House report they were already knee-deep in telegrams. By tomorrow morning...
And the government stopped the deal?
The SEC could hold this deal up for 20 years if they wanted to. I'm finished. Any second that phone's gonna ring, and Clarence McElhaney's gonna tell me Mr. Jensen wants me in his office tomorrow morning so he can personally chop my head off. 4 hours ago, I was a sun god at CCA. Mr. Jensen's hand-picked golden boy. The heir apparent. Now, I'm a man without a corporation.
The kids sloshed through it. A thin and leafless sapling leaned against its support stake. It was a long way from home. Where do I find Skase? Do they have a clubhouse with college pennants on the wall and old Pat Boone records playing day and night? Not hardly, Tower said. Your best bet would be to talk to the secretary, Terry Orchard. She's the least unpleasant of them and the least unreasonable. Where do I find her? Tower pressed down an intercom button and asked someone to...
I'm not happy. Because I'm a fuck slut.
That's right, there you go. But you're going to be much happier when everything is said and done. Now this is what we're going to do. We're going to put your head in the bag. We're going to tie it nice and tight. We're going to tie it nice and snug. And then I'm going to give you the fuck of your life. I'll do that for you. And then it's lights out.
Oh, no.
Lights completely out.
For a man. Oh, ow, ow. I'm a man without a corporation.
The act allows the FBI to wiretap American citizens who are not criminal suspects.
No must silent of my Christian life, never brought her now. Theater, woman, you're not stealing that by myself.
trying to find the gems, the songs that I really love, in the huge BitTorrent file of demo songs from the...
I conceded that foster care is slavery, and here in New York City is practiced against 17,000 children, 98% of them black and Latino, less than 1% white. I am the founder of Parents in Action for Leadership and Human Rights, a grassroots organization that fights against the abuses of the foster care industry, the public schooling system, and the whole cradle-to-prison pipeline. I think that WBI needs a program to deal with this issue that is destroying black and Latino families. I am the founder of the Mental Hygiene Corps Patrol that monitors psychiatrist abuses, especially at Bellevue Hospital. I am solution-oriented and need your vote to make WBI the station with the highest audience in our area. For more information, visit my website at parents...
Let's get back to Howard Beale. You're not seriously going to pull Beale off the air.
Jensen's unhappy with Howard Beale and wants him discontinued.
Yeah, but he may be unhappy, but he isn't stupid enough to withdraw the number one show on television out of pique.
$2 billion isn't pique!
Sinaction.net.
And you're listening to radio station WBAI. For more exciting election statements, tune in at 7:55 and we'll bring you another one. Right now, though, it's time for Off the Hook.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. We couldn't get much worse, but if they could, they would. Only live on for the best, expect the worst. I hope that's understood, but they live on.
Shorts off, and then I felt really naked, so I pulled them back up on. My eyes were closed, but there was like this big eye somewhere off in space staring at me, you know. So I opened my eyes, and I looked up, and she's staring at me in the cabinet mirror. And I pulled her back away from the mirror so she couldn't see. And I started to take her shorts off. Resisted a little bit, and then she stopped, and she turned around, and she giggled, and she threw her arms around my neck, kissed me on the mouth. And I lubricated myself. I heard this scream.
Yeah.
And it was my own. There was a spot of blood on my shorts, so I took them right off and I tore them up and flushed them right down to John. And by that time she was dressed. She came over to me and she said, did that mean that I was her boyfriend now and were we going to do it again tomorrow? And I said, yeah. When I wasn't with her, I'd be with that, be in the children's playground, or else I'd be in the children's section at the movies. You want to know something? What?
Juan.
Juan. Yes, Juan. I became a pro? A professional degenerate?
It seemed like I almost had a second sense about children. You know, I would sit there on that park bench for hours.
Okay.
And then I'd talk to a little girl for a minute, and I'd know right away whether we're going to do it or not. The little Puerto Rican girls and the black
culture.
Girls.
I mean, as a famous French philosopher once said, the man in the street is a Cartesian. Le moyen sensuel. He buys the Cartesian doctrines more or less a whole, but without the elaborate metaphysics. Okay, so far so good, but now we've got some problems. And let me tell you the problems that Cartesianism naturally gives rise to. And I have to tell you, most of these problems are still with us. They form part and parcel of contemporary philosophy and cognitive science today. The first problem is, if there are these two different realms, the mental and the physical, how are they supposed to relate to each other? And in particular, how can there be any causal relation between one and another? This has a certain poignancy to it because at one level, we're inclined to think if there's anything we know, it's that our own minds affect our bodies and our bodies affect the contents of our minds. But if we're to think of these as separate metaphysical realms, I mean, there's this realm of the mental and the realm of the physical. If there are these two separate realms, how can they ever relate to each other? How can they ever cause each other?
QBTA?
But all the same, we know it happens. Right? I mean, look, there's always some philosopher who tells us the mind doesn't affect the body, but you just watch. I decide to raise my arm and the damn thing goes up. I mean, it's just a fact. And anytime I have doubts about this, watch. I can just raise it at will. Made up my mind to raise it. That's a mental event, goes on in a mental realm.
I became a pro? A professional degenerate?
Art Kumbhalik himself. And don't forget your tour map. If you become separated from the main tour group, the route directions and tour stops clearly indicated on the map will help you catch up quickly with Art and the rest of the gang. Are you ready? Tighten your shoelaces and let's go. First stop, number one on your tour map, is the National Liquor Bar at the corner of South 26th Street and West National Avenue. Pause outside for a few moments to admire the National Liquor Bar's oversized neon sign, cleverly designed as an upraised bottle pouring into a shot glass. This interesting example of American urban folk art has helped neighborhood residents navigate National Avenue for many years. Then step inside the bar. Notice the ornamental pressed tin ceiling, typical of many of Milwaukee's older drinking establishments. Also observe the no-frills industrial lighting, recently imitated by many of the most fashionable Italian designers. And be sure to take note of the many television sets, usually tuned to an informative news station or an intellectually challenging game show, which helps keep the patrons of this legendary tavern alert and aware. Belly up to the bar, order an inexpensive tap beer, and meet our tour guide, Mr. Art Kumbhalik.
I'm Art Kumbhalik, and so how's your fucking day going, huh? Hey, any of you got 2 tens for five? Yeah, you the ones here for the tour? Okay, you know, man, oh man, I gotta tell you. You know, I woke up this morning, I looked around for something to wear, and, you know, I found some clothes crumpled up on the fucking floor, and, hey, what luck, this would be a good day, because I was already in these clothes, which was a damn good thing, because, you know, this time of year, I get up and, for Christ's sakes, I feel like a whole nother year older. Which shouldn't be no surprise, since sometime around this week, I will be another year older, huh? Yes, well, come on. So I was sitting here at the bar,
It seemed like I almost had a second sense about children, you know? I would sit there on that park bench for hours, and then I'd talk to a little girl for a minute, and I'd know right away whether we were going to do it or not. The little Puerto Rican girls and the black girls were the easiest.
Little white girls that masturbate you right there in the park for a quarter, whatever, depending on how much emphasis.
Wasn't
a 3-ounce can?
I think it was 6 ounce. It could have been weaponized. Do you throw that at somebody?
Weaponized
deadly
tuna.
For the tuna.
It's full of mercury.
Yeah, there's that too. Who knows what kind of chemical reactions will take place. And continuing on this subject, a California congresswoman this week was briefly denied access to a United Airlines flight. Actually, that was last week. Because her name appeared on a no-fly list set up after September 11th. Representative Loretta Sanchez, a Democrat who has been a critic of a no-fly list, said her staff booked her a one-way ticket from Boise, Idaho to Cincinnati, Ohio. A well-known terrorist route. And through Denver, by the way. But they were prevented from printing her boarding pass online and at an airport kiosk. Sanchez said she was instructed to check in with a United employee who told her she was on the terrorist watch list. The employee asked her for identification. Well, what good does asking for identification do? I mean, does it say on your
terrorists
ID?
Terrorists don't have ID.
No, they have ID, but it says the same name on it, doesn't it?
Oh, no, they don't, according to all these nutty theories about ID.
And... Yes.
A smart terrorist would find what famous American shares their name, mug them, and take their ID or duplicate their ID.
So, somewhere
it is
out
clear
there,
to me that the Park Service is not Treadwell's real enemy. There's a larger, more implacable adversary out there, the people's world and civilization.
Ah, Timothy, I'm getting a bad feeling about you.
He only has mockery and contempt for it.
Oh, I saw you on David Letterman. You're fairly entertaining.
His rage is almost incandescent, artistic. The actor in his film has taken over from the filmmaker. I have seen this madness before on a film set. But Treadwell is not an actor in opposition to a director or a producer. He's fighting civilization itself. It is the same civilization that cast Thoreau out of Walden and John Muir into the wild.
Animals roll.
All right, that's my heavy stuff. Let's do a couple of nice takes now. Oh, man, did I get angry? Fuck them, right? They do not watch these animals. They don't care about these animals. All they want to do is screw people like me around. It's amazing. Let the fishermen fucking shoot the animals. Let the fucking poachers come in here and fuck them. Let the fucking commercial people fuck them around with their fucking cameras and shit.
I'll tell you who time ambles with all, who time trots with all, who time gallops with all, and who he stands still with all. Orlando. Who stays it still with all? Rosalind. With lawyers in the vacation. For they sleep between term and term, and then they perceive not how time moves. William Shakespeare, As You Like It, Act 3, Scene 2. Prologue, 7 years earlier. Chapter 1. She didn't know how long she had been in the darkness when her family finally stopped screaming. She had forgotten where she was and how she had gotten there. She didn't know how long she had been trapped, chained down like an animal, dirty, helpless. She didn't know why she was naked. All she knew was that she was in great pain, that her whole body ached and her kneecap felt as if it had been shattered, that she was alone, and that something horrible was happening to her family. Aaron Faulkner couldn't see anything, not in any direction, only the impenetrable black. All she could feel was the stone floor beneath her, hard, rough, cold to the touch. She could hear a dripping sound, not too far away, steady, with a slight echo, making this place seem even more like a medieval torture chamber, filling her with...
Then the tourists, but we're going to go screw with Timothy Treadwell because he loves animals and teaches kids for free. Let's go. Let's do that. That's what we're going to do. Well, fuck them. Fuck them. I beat you. I beat you, motherfuckers. I beat you. Beat you. Fuck you. I beat you. I beat you. I'm the champion. I'm the fucking champion. I beat you. I beat your fucking asses. Fucking losers. Fucking nobodies. Fuck. Fucking...
And so to release yourself from those parental restrictions and from the negative ego's dictations, so critical to let go of that past. we've talked of it similarly, in order to release the time bombs and the avalanches that lie in wait, seeming so threatening in your unconscious mind, in order to open up to a dream, to a vision of the future, it is important that you allow yourself to let the past die. Your world is saying so. To let it go. The world is demanding it. Now, more and more, as history is coming to an end, that means that the past is relinquishing its hold. Oh, how many times we've said it. Relinquishing its hold. The world is trying to tell you, psst, psst, tap, 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 yes. Punch you in the arm and that's etching, shake you by the shoulder. Hey, you! You've got to let go of your past. You haven't done it. Okay, we understand. We're going to pull the rug out from under you. History is going to end. Now, let's see what you do. And there'll be those who cling so tightly to a past that has let them go. But not you. But indeed, you can let yourself down gracefully. Now you will find that freedom from the past if you let go of that past. We've talked of it. We've talked of it in terms of transformation and in terms of transcendence. You live in an outer world, an illusion, certainly so. When you close your eyes and you alter your state, you enter an inner world of your subconscious mind that varies with each of you, that is yours, personally and privately. From that inner world, if you will die to the past, of the mind, the conscious mind, the heart and the brain, you can enter the underworld, the recesses of the unconscious that may look different but is truly the same. Inner worlds is a plural. Underworld is a singular. And in that underworld, you can discover and you can change. And you can process and you can program and you can transcend and exit into not the outer world from whence you began, but the other world that lies beyond the abyss. To transform, to transcend, to move from the outer world to the inner, to the underworld, and to emerge, transform, transfigured, transcendent.
Oh my God, will the pain never cease?
Hey, you know what's great?
Oh!
I have a lot more stamina than I do with a woman, you know? I mean, I could do this all night.
Oh, please finish! It has been 2 hours of undiluted agony!
Unnatural child thing she believed she loved. And then gently Claudia said to her, "Leave us." "No." She shook her head, holding tight to Claudia. And then she shut her eyes and trembled all over with some terrible vexation, some awful torment. But Claudia was leading her from the chair, and she was now pliant and shocked and white-faced.
Lamenting that she had never been able to say, "I love my mother." "She's going to die," my friend said, "and I won't ever have had this feeling about her. All the other women I know are having these wonderful sense of closures with their mom, and my mom is just going to disappear, and I won't know what the possibilities have been." In the few years since that conversation, something shifted. She called me in great excitement on a sunny day and said, "Guess what? I hardly know how to say this, but I know what it feels to love my mom."
"What do you do, Mr. Beale?"
"I must make my witness."
"Sure thing, Mr. Beale."
Oil ministers at the OPEC nations meeting in Vienna still haven't decided how much more to increase the price of oil next Wednesday.
Ready, VTA?
Yeah.
Iran and
okay, he came in the building about 5 minutes ago.
Well, VTA.
Tell Snowden when he comes in.
9, Saudi 8, Iranians are 7,
that ball?
They
just
6, 10%. 5,
more
4,
on that story
3,
from
2,
in Vienna.
1.
VTA.
This has been the most divisive meeting the oil states have ever had. The 13 nations of OPEC have still not been able to decide by how much to increase the price of oil. Saudi Arabia...
How much time we got?
Yesterday, for further consultations with his government, he returned to the Vienna... This is Ed Fletcher in Vienna.
Take 2, Q Howard.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street. There's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad.
Jerks. They should have shot me in the head, and enough times to make sure. It's so stupid. Everybody knows what's coming, but they go through the motions anyway. What a waste of time.
I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to ride. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad.
And from the very fact that you even attempt to dominate suggests that you inherently hold that humanity is unloving, yet you, as part of humanity, are going to be separate from that? You are going to be the exception? No. Your belief structure is indeed illogical, but not that much so. So to try to hold on the one hand, I'm going to be loving, and I'm going to let myself be loved, and at the same time I'm going to dominate, is impossible.
The general didn't want Jews around, and certainly didn't want them in the city, so they were largely in what's called the Pale, his settlements far beyond the places of urbanity where theater thrived. And the Jews of France and Germany and places where they were, a little less restrictions. There were also traditions of Jewish traditions which didn't allow or didn't welcome Jews in theater. They felt that a Jew would become too assimilated too quickly. That was not what they wanted. They wanted Jews to remain Jews. And they would be polluted by what was called the Haskalah, the Enlightenment. But of course there was no holding back the Enlightenment. The rabbis were King Canute in that regard.
You've got to say, I'm a human being! God damn it! My life has value! So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs.
Something has to give. And it will. So to be a loving person, you must...
calendar while I breathe and eat through tubes. Night after night, I wait for somebody to come and finish me off.
Forgo domination and embrace dominion. You must forgo the grand promise and accept the spiritual promise.
I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore! I want you to get up right now. Get up, go to your windows, open them, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore. Things have got to change.
How many stations does this go out?
You've got to get mad.
67.
Why are you doing this to me?
That's none of your fucking business.
But you have to make it my business because I want to love you.
Don't you contradict me. I don't need anything from you. You understand?
Yes.
Are you ready? Okay. Good. We're going to spice things up, all right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to come to your apartment and we're going to do this for real. How does that sound?
Oh, baby, please, let's do it like this.
Don't you fucking perform.
I'm not. I just want
to. Don't you fucking perform for me. I don't want that bullshit. Okay? I do the performing.
I'm not performing for you.
Now, what are you doing?
I just want to love you.
No, I don't want your love. I don't need your love. I have enough love. I have plenty. Believe me, I have a mother. I have friends. I don't want your love.
I know it goes to Louisville and Atlanta.
We're not going to take this anymore. Then we'll figure out what to do about the depression and the inflation and the oil crisis. But first, get up out of your chairs, open the window, stick your head out and yell and say, I'm as mad as hell and I'm not going to take this anymore.
After a while, I realized it's not going to be so easy as that. I'm on my feet for about 10 minutes before the cops kick them out from under me. They don't ask me any questions. They just keep knocking the crap out of me and waving a confession in my face. And I keep spitting blood all over it and laughing at how many fresh copies they come up with. Then along comes this worm assistant district attorney who turns the recorder off and says, if I don't sign their confession, they'll kill my mom.
Put on money. I couldn't stop myself. I thought of killing myself, but I couldn't go through with that. I don't want to die. I thought maybe I was crazy, but I read somewhere or heard that the crazy people don't know the difference between right and wrong. And I know right, and I know what I'm doing is wrong, but I just can't stop.
Well, why didn't you go to a police or to a psychiatrist?
Well, I thought of that many times, but if I went to the police, they would either find some pretext to kill me or else they'd turn me over to a psychiatrist, and if he couldn't help me, he'd turn me back over to them, or else I'd spend the rest of my life in a nut ward. Listen, Juan, try to understand me.
Motherfucker, try to understand you. Let me tell you something. If I wasn't trying to understand you, I would have killed you stone dead, punk, that moment that you said that thing about the Rican girl. Look, man, you better ask for a transfer to protection. Because if you remain on this floor, you're asking to die. You're asking to commit involuntary suicide. I mean, why the fuck did you have to tell me all of it? You don't know me from Adam. Why did you have to make me your father confessor? Why?
A lawyer or a wife would have been suicide 10 years earlier.
Or some sort of corporate type.
And she still managed to be extraordinarily uncritical in her examination of suicide or this boy not, or something like that.
Nobody actually, so at least of all her, nobody
with this woman who seems wonders and uncover her extraordinary grief. And of course, she begins to turn out not to merely be part of the story in the sense that she's from the country that this plot is taking place, but that she actually was the lover of one of the leaders of that country, or one of the contenders for the political control in that country. And so this ramping up of significance eventually gets kind of tiring, and it creates a sense of falseness.
I can do this. With as much speed and strength as she could muster, she brought the brick down against her left wrist. The pain was incredible. Her body began to shake. She cried out, her scream echoing around her. But she knew it had not been enough.
Who are you talking to, Frank?
CGG, Atlanta.
Are they yelling in Atlanta, Herb?
Are they yelling in Atlanta, Ted?
But first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
They're yelling in Baton Rouge.
Get up, get up, get up out of your chair.
Son of a bitch! We struck the mother lobe!
Stick your head out of the window, open it, then stick your head out and keep yelling. And yell, I'm as mad as hell. I'm not going to take this anymore.
Just get up from your chairs right now. Go to
the window. Where are you going? I want to see if anybody's yelling.
Open it and stick your head out and yell and keep yelling. I'm...
That man is hell! How am I going to take this anymore?
And that damn thing keeps going up. You can get a tired arm if you think about Descartes long enough. And it works the other way, too. I mean, I hit my thumb with a hammer. It's just a physical event in the physical world. I mean, it's just an any old thumb and any old hammer. But all the same, something happens, right, in the realm of my mind. I feel a pain. It isn't just, well, there was this physical transaction. There was indeed. But on the other end of the physical transaction, something happened. It hurt. I felt it hurt.
That's all I think of. I just want a man to fuck me. To fuck me so hard. I want his cock in my mouth. And I want to lick his ass.
Well, Leisha, sometimes in life we use sex as an escape. Now, I want to ask you a question, and I want you to think about it before you answer. What would you like to escape from, Leisha?
Oh, God, my pussy gets so wet just thinking about his beautiful balls and the cock. I want to play with his balls while my tongue is in his ass, and then I want to get fucked again.
I break his arm at three places, and I sign it. From then on, it's the circus everybody wants it to be. They nail me for the works.
Reaches over like this and takes what looks like a piece of plastic tubing from a tropical fish tank and pulls it from the wall.
Get Spalding Gray's father a copy of Swimming to Cambodia, will you please?
I'm going back now to summer of 1964. I realized was the time the character was first trying to get away from his mother. He had been dating her a lot that winter, going to the movies and seeing all the latest Bergman films because his father wouldn't go out to the movies with his mother. And so winter leads to summer, and he stays home and begins swimming with his mother in Narragansett Bay. And then they lie in the sun and discuss things like Christian Science versus existentialism, which is better. And but he really wants to get away. He really wants to escape and go down to Provincetown in Cape Cod, because that is the summer of 64, the first time in American history when people are just learning how to hang out. Someone had read about it, and now they were doing it. They would just lean against a building all summer, staring out to sea, you know, without any guilt or thoughts in their head, like tanned vegetables. And Brewster desperately wants to get down there and learn how to hang out. And he wants to borrow his mother's car, and he talks her into it. So he loads up the car in the morning with all the provisions, her Metrical and instant breakfast, his father's frozen meat and steak, his L.L. Bean sleeping bag, says, "Bye, Mom!" Drives off down the road, gets about 5 miles down the road, turns around, comes back, unloads everything, goes swimming with his mother. Next morning, loads up the car again with all the provisions, says, "Bye, Mom!" Drives about 10 miles down the road this time, turns around, comes back, unloads everything, and he does not make it to Provincetown that summer. Now, I'm working on that section on the book, and I get a call on the telephone. Someone has an idea. They interrupt me with an idea. I like it this time that they have the idea, and I like the idea. They want to sell this idea to Columbia Pictures and send Renee and I to Nicaragua to research a film script idea. The idea being this, that we would hitch up with a bunch of American fact finders, groups that were going down then to check on the American illegal war with the Contras against the Nicaraguans. And they were going to go down and check. Many of these fact-finding groups were going down then. I think it was Nicaragua's major economy at the time. American fact-finding groups to go down and check on the war.
You see what the racetrack does? It makes the lines roll. Wax, lightning, and luck. The last bluebird singing. Anything I say sounds fine because I gamble when I write. Too many are too careful.
The judge is all fire and brimstone when she hands down the sentence. Midnight and my death are only a few hours away. They fixed me a pretty decent steak for my last meal. They even throw in a brew. Then they shave my head and fix me with a rubber diaper and get to it.
I just want to love you.
No, no, I don't want your love. I don't need your love. I have enough love. I have plenty, believe me. I have a mother. I have friends. I don't want your love.
Oh, come on, give it to me.
Bullshit.
Please?
I live very close to you. I'm going to come over there, and I'll be there in a few minutes, okay? I'll get that bag tied around your head, watch you struggle, all right?
But you don't know where I live.
No. 213 East 5th Street, apartment number 5.
Grand promise which failed and was always a failure. The spiritual promise which has always been there and always fulfilled.
I took a picture of what a telephone ring looks like. I didn't know that that was what I was taking a picture of at the time. I can't say I heard it when I took it, but when I look at it now, that's what I hear. It's the shape of a telephone ring.
They study, they teach, and they fail.
Almost all the peoples of the world have at some point or another been enslaved in historical terms.
Yes!
Come across a planet of rising sun empire of Japan. Today, you are embarking on a most dangerous mission. Today, you take a crew across the airplane high up in the sky, finding the Yankee aircraft carrier, taking crew across the plane down fast, crashing on the deck, killing yourself and all aboard. Before we have a ceremonial sake toast, are there any questions? Yeah, in the back, Sakimoto.
Honorable General Song!
That's all.
Are you out of your fucking mind?
We'll be back to our movie in a minute, but first, here's a word from our sponsors.
Hi there, friends and neighbors. This is your old pal El Monte Slim telling you, come on down here to White Track Town in Wilmington. Goddamn, we got some out-of-sight bargains here for you in cars. And be sure to bring the kiddies, too, because we got free pony rides and lollipops for all little folks. Talk about suckers. Look at this sucker over here. Yes, sirree, Bob, that's your 58 Dodge pickups. White, of course. It got your radio, got your heater, got your overdrive, and it's got your Easy Rider rifle rack. Yes, sir. With room for not one, but three your favorite rifles. Yes, sir. Now, be sure to ask for it by license plate number KKKU2, and for the first 100 of you mothers to come on down, we got a free America Love It or Leave It bumper sticker. Yes, sir. So come on on down, that's for El Monte Slim. Now back to our movie, The Jackson 5 Story, starring the Osmond Brothers.
And we'll be right back to our movie, but first, here's a commercial message.
Tracing the genesis of a masterpiece like Apocalypse Now yields no easy eureka. Its roots may be detected in a schoolroom in Colorado in 1962, where 17-year-old John Milius heard his English teacher, Erwin Blackler, extol the splendor of Conrad's novel, Heart of Darkness. Or in the pot-enriched gatherings at University of Southern California's film school 5 years later, when Milius' fellow students would listen quietly to his dreams of a film called The Psychedelic Soldier. Or around the same time when those very same students, John Milius, George Lucas, Walter Murch, Caleb Deschanel, William Hike, and others, would drive across town to Burbank. There, in the words of Francis Coppola, "We sat around in my office on the Warner Brothers lot talking about our dreams. Obviously, many of them were trying to get their projects going. I recall George and John mentioning a lot of guys who were returning from Vietnam bringing word of the craziness of it. The drugs, the hallucination, the surfing, and they were cooking up a script that John would write for George.
Never get out of the boat. Absolutely goddamn right.
Convention strips them of their fire. I feel better now up here on the second floor with the Macintosh, my pal. And Mahler is on the radio. He glides with such ease, taking big corners. One needs that sometimes. Then he sends in the long power rises. Thank you, Mahler. I borrow from you, and I can never pay you back. I smoke too much. I drink too much, but I can't write too much. It just keeps coming, and I call for more, and it arrives and mixes with Mahler. Sometimes I deliberately stop myself. I say, wait a moment. Go to sleep. Or look at your 8 cats, or sit with your wife on the couch. You're either at the track or with the Macintosh. And then I stop, put on the brakes, park the damn thing. Some people have written that my writing has helped them to go on. It's helped me, too. The drinking, the riding, the horses, the 8 cats, my wife. There's a small balcony here. The door is open and I can see the lights of all the cars on the Harbor Freeway South. They never stop, that roll of lights on and on. All those people, what are they doing? What are they thinking? We're all set to die, all of us. What a circus. That alone should make us love each other, but it doesn't. We are terrorized and flattened by trivialities. We are eaten up by nothing. Keep it going, Mahler. You made this a wondrous night. Don't stop, you son of a bitch. Don't stop.
Extreme prejudice.
Hey, I'm getting feedback over here that we were having some technical difficulties. We're actually back on now, so I'm just gonna...
And it's about damn time, if you ask me.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death...
If you get a move on, I haven't got all night.
You heard the man. Hit it.
Is that the best you can do, you pansies?
Naturally, I admire him.
Yeah. Come on. You would trade places with him in a second.
Hardly.
There, friends and neighbors, it's your old pal El Monte Slim telling you to come on down here to White Track Town, Wilmington. God damn, we got some out of sight bargains here for you in cars. And listen, for the first 10,000 people to come on down here today, we got free sandwiches and coffee. If you haven't done your clothes, bring them on down, because we got free washers and dryers. Now look here, you're probably wondering how to get here. Well, you take any freeway.
Also, depending on where I'm putting my eyes, when I look at it, depending on where I focus, it switches from sound to dance, and I feel that I'm doing a can-can. If I look on the at the loop on the left, I feel my right leg go up as if joining a dance troupe and doing the can-can with it. I wanted to say, well, when you see it, you'll feel that way too.
In order to be a loving person, that shift is very important. Secondly, to be a spiritual person, you have to forego, sacrifice, your desire and the function and fact of your domination. You must forego it. To look at that a little closer, spirituality is your relationship with God, Goddess, all that is. To have an active, growing, responding spirituality, not one that you drag out on Sunday morning for 1 hour, or Wednesday evening if you must, or Saturday, in a day you want to be a little different. But needs to be a living, breathing, active embracing of God, Goddess, all that is.
What do you want here? Well, if you don't want anything, beat it. And don't come back.
Corporations are governing entities. They make the rules. That is contrary to the...
Now, the very function of domination...
The theory... of governance in the United States
is to rule.
Corporations are governing entities. They make the rules.
We have a tendency to make lists, and it's getting worse and worse and worse, and somehow, if we don't know anything else to do, you make lists.
That is contrary to the theory of governance in the United States. It's contrary to the ideals of the Declaration of Independence and to all the work that people in every generation have done in order to wrest power from the few and distribute it among the many. And none of those issues are raised. Nobody's asking, well, how do you feel about capital and property, an institution of capital and property, wielding the rights of persons? And the General Motors Corporation speaks. It drowns out the rights of people. When people go to work for any corporation, as soon as you cross over onto corporate property, you have no constitutional rights in the United States. You have no freedom of speech. You have no due process. You have no equal protection. And again, if you violate something, let's say some folks within a corporation, they want to start putting some signs on the walls, or they want to start having meetings. Well, the corporate leaders, you know, they'll call the sheriff. And it is the state that will come and remove these people and say, you are violating the law. And it's not much different from the slave master. Slave master, A, they wrote the laws of the southern states saying what the conditions were and making it a crime for anybody to teach a slave to read, certainly making a capital offense to help a slave escape. They got it written in the Constitution that all bonded workers, whether white or black slaves, if they ran away to a non-slave state, the law of the land, the sheriff, the police, the army, had to seize this person and send him or her back to her owner. So frankly, you know, I think we've sort of evolved in the United States from from a slave master society to a corporate manager society. The slave master society, the Southern slaveocracy, ruled the United States up to the Civil War. Subsequent to the Civil War, it's men of property through their corporations that have ruled the United States. And that history is very important to tell us how we got into this mess and also to help suggest ways of undoing it.
Is to control. The very function of domination is to alienate yourself in the attempts to place yourself above, in an elevated, superior position. Now, how can you do that and have a living, breathing, embracing relationship from an elevated, superior position to God, Goddess, all that is?
It's an electronic door-to-door search.
When you look at it in those terms, which is really the only terms you can't look at it, it becomes very obvious. It is impossible. To become one with, to become part of, to reconnect with something that by the very nature of your domination is beneath you, that is separate from you, that you are superior to. It does not take a great deal of intelligence or a great deal of thinking to understand clearly the two are in juxtaposition to one another and they shall not converge.
Is the legendary epic tale composed by the blind poet Homer. The tale of Odysseus was first presented in pre-literate Greece by professional storytellers. So imagine, if you will, that the year is 500 BC, that you are somewhere in Greece, and you don't know how to read. After the Trojan War, it was 10 years before Odysseus returns home to Greece, where his wife Penelope was waiting, weaving, and fending off lots of muscle-bound Hercules types. Where was Odysseus all this time? Eating baklava with the beautiful nymph Calypso on a Mediterranean island. For 8 years, that's how badly he wanted to get home. Finally, Odysseus hits the open sea, only to have good old Poseidon wreck his ship, but Odysseus is rescued and tells his story. And if there's one thing Odysseus can do, it's talk. So here's what happens. Odysseus and his men leave Troy victorious, but they're blown to the low seas. After a while, in the lowest position, the next one of two is meant to be before they escape the edge of the world. That's where old people live. They reminisce about old dead friends, drink a little blood, then they sail past the island of sirens with their seductive song. Oh! Luckily, they all had to do the thing. Then the second monster goes the rest of the guys say, what the hell? And they shoot off the capital of Tiberian, the sun god. The gods get angry again, and they kill everyone else except for our hero, who somehow just get home. Then, with the help of Athena, goddess of wisdom and arts and crafts, Odysseus kills just about everyone. Then he takes a break. He makes love to his wife, visits his dad, has some souvlaki for lunch. Then he starts killing again. But this time, Zeus, king of the gods, intervenes.
Knock it off, Odysseus!
And when Zeus talks, everyone listens.
When I say I want to be a spiritual person and that I want to make my spirituality, on spirituality as a whole, my main focus, my main goal, the driving force of my existence, and I also want to dominate, you end up standing still, which is also a non-existent place and therefore moving backward. For reality is moving forward. If you're standing still, in effect, you're going backwards.
Listen, no, we read the start.
So to dominate and be spiritual can't be done. Now, many will try to drag their domination with them. That's where the old eye and the needle mythology comes. To squeeze through that small opening into those spiritual realms, you simply can't take your domination with you. But many will try. And get stuck and fall back, making room for others to try and get stuck and fall back. So to the extent that you can in your heart honestly feel that urge, that draw, that pull to be spiritual, the brakes, the thing that stops you, is your steadfast adherence and your tenacious desire to dominate. I thought it was my ego. Well, it is that also. For who is it that wants to dominate? Who is it that has convinced you that's the only way to exist? Who is it?
Oh, all sorts of things happen with it.
Okay, well, that's the no-fly list for you. Here's a great headline from the Daily Mail over there in England. Britons could be microchipped like dogs in a decade. Oh, yeah, human beings may be forced to be microchipped like pet dogs. A shocking official report into the rise of the Big Brother state has warned.
Wait, are pet dogs regularly microchipped?
Apparently over there they are.
My dog has a microchip.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wow. The microchips, which are implanted under the skin, allow the wearer's movements to be tracked and store personal information about them. They could be used by companies who want to keep tabs on an employee's movements, or by
And that's about the only thing that hasn't happened in television yet. When Patty writes, he uses all things that have actually happened in television. And this was the only thing that has not happened yet. But I think it's still to come. I wouldn't be surprised to see it. On one of the reality shows, it'll happen. There'll be a real death. And it'll be shown to you, I promise you.
All it's terrifying echoes of George.
I think, Orwell's for whatever reason...
Brother Police State in the book 1984 was raised in an official report for Britain's...
Tempted to, through fabrication, show you that that's the way to get ahead, but the ego. Thirdly, has attempted to, through fabrication, show you that that's the way to get ahead, but the ego.
Race. Only some of them. All right. So I kept reading the article, and where do these blacks come from that shouldn't be at Harvard under affirmative action because they are not the descendants of slaves? Well, a substantial number of them come from the West Indies. Skip Gates, Lanny Guinier, right? Professors of law, literature, stupid people. It's not the first time I ran across that. You remember this very dignified fellow who was Bill Clinton's black advisor? Vernon Jordan. Vernon Jordan, it must have been about 25 years ago, I was reading the Amsterdam News, a black newspaper, and Vernon Jordan had an article in which he complained, as the headline indicated, that Haitians were taking black jobs. So you have to be on constant patrol, because stupidity will bite you in the booty any minute.
Chapter 2, An Exact Replica. Oddly enough, I was the one in the hospital, this same hospital, Mother Seton, 3 months ago, when my new neighbor moved in. A shopping cart had careened down a hilly side street, entering the intersection a second or two before I did. No grocery store in the vicinity, but there it was. I swerved to avoid it, swerved again to miss the kid on the bike, the one who always shows up on cue in these situations, and then a convenient street lamp on a heavy concrete pillar absorbed my car's momentum, and the seatbelt absorbed mine. At least most of it. Which interior object gave my knee a sound rap has yet to be determined. I walked away from the accident, as they say, but as I stood talking to the police, demanding that the runaway cart be ticketed for attempting to leave the scene, post-traumatic humor, which left the cops strangely unamused, my right leg collapsed and I crumpled to the pavement. The patella is a small bone, but as I learned in that moment, a leg is largely useless without one. No kneecap, no walking. The surgeon beamed with professional pride after the operation. 7 fragments, his personal best. Reunited with screws and baling wire. All titanium, of course. He was happy to put a cheerful spin on my long night after surgery.
Bella Rabsa.
Bella Abzica, heavenly. She's totally...
I wrote her campaign song when she ran for mayor. I did. It's so plain. Wait. So says Streisand and McLean. I know that our vote won't be in vain. Oi, Bella, Bella.
Brilliant.
To me, you are a star. You show concern for all, no matter who or what they are.
We just met him. Isn't that unbelievable?
Oh, I love you, Morris. I love you.
Look at
you. You know who raved about your store was Andre Stanley.
Oh, he did?
I talked to him last night, and he said your store, it's genius. It's absolutely genius.
When did you break it?
I was trying to move by myself.
I knew it. I knew it.
You fool.
Stephen, you're crazy.
These are the chairs I want.
You better be careful.
Enough.
A little dusty. Oh, who cares? Oh. Remember when Merv Griffin used to have his afternoon show?
That was Mike Douglas.
No.
Yes.
No, it was also...
Maybe it was on another coast
Merv
or something.
No, here in Michigan.
Was always
Merv
8 o'clock.
Are you finally waking up?
Yeah, finally. God, I'm finally waking up, yes.
You sounded like very, very... Like,
well, I took a Valium last night. I could not go to sleep.
You seem to be a little bit...
Well, I am.
Agitated.
I mean, you know what it is? It's because my fitting's starting a week from now, and I'm trying to focus everybody so that we have like as many things ready for the fittings as possible.
Yeah, the stuff isn't ready. I mean, the shoes are running really late, which is crazy. The clothes, I don't know, I'm just freaking out in general.
One of the reasons that there are so many movies that are not good that are made from stage plays is because people try to quote-unquote open it up. I've never worried about that. Since it's a face that I'm interested in, I don't see why it's less of a movie if it's against a wall as against a mountain. To me, a movie is about revelation in human behavior. And a force of nature in a room and a force of nature as an actor. When Marlon zeroes in on something, his acting concentration locks in and it's unbreakable. Marlon did do something basically unfair, but I understood completely why he did it. I know he did this on 2 other pictures. He would basically test the director. He'd give you 2 takes. In one of it, he'd be working really fully. By that I mean on an internal level. And the other one, in which the outside form would be identical, but he'd be doing nothing inside. And he'd watch and see which one you printed. And if you printed the wrong one, you'd have it. Because as I said earlier, you know, all good acting, all good work is self-revelation. It's very painful to do that for someone who is going to be the final judge of what goes into the film, but doesn't understand you and doesn't see what you are doing. I don't think I ever succeeded, Robert. I think that's why it's not a really marvelous picture. I think it's
really
a picture with wonderful stuff in it and very interesting. But I don't think it's a successful picture.
Sometimes reconciliation can only occur after separation or death. This is a different kind of writing and a different kind of healing work. Who in your life do you need to write about on the path to forgiveness, reconciliation, or healing? In my mid-40s, I left one partner for another. After our separation, I had no right to intrude on her healing process. That is what we forfeit when we let go, is the influence and interference in the day-to-day management of how we handle our own emotions. I wrote a series of letters to honor our soul work. Breaking up is a time when the journal can be particularly important. I'm going to make a suggestion here, that you have a separate volume just for breaking up or dealing with divorce, because in the future you may not want to keep that. You may not want that material interspersed with other things you're writing about. It's just a place to dump the territory of pain, confusion, and sorting that's going on It's a workbook for putting your life back together.
Hard. It's not so easy. Not so easy. What's not so easy?
Me.
What's that? Another message. Oh, hard. To play the final game. A hem. Gratuity. Where do you want it? Okay. Oop, looks like we're out of oil.
No gratuity?
Well, there's more gratuity inside. Come on in, Roger.
All right. Nice apartment, Professor.
Thank you, Roger. While the robot was rolling around my apartment, I spiked his 3-in-1 oil with a large dose of 80-weight axle grease. Okay, Roger, where do you want it? In there? You got it.
Ooh,
heavy, man. Ooh, Roger, robot will be rolling off. Missed the door there, Roger.
Goodbye, Professor.
In this final lecture, I want to look back at everything we've been talking about and
so critical, so vibrant, so important. We have talked of it so very often. And truly the phrase, freedom from the past. The words cannot convey its power and its wonder and its importance. And indeed we are not alone in those who have encouraged you. For the mystics, the philosophers, the poets, for centuries, for generation upon generation have said it. Psychologists and psychiatrists have, in their own way, for decades, told you. Did you hold on?
The thread that is running through all these single issues.
Your world, the past is ending, and it is telling you to get to where you want to go, you need to let go.
What they all have in common.
So why do you hold on? Why do you hold on so very desperately?
is that the law of the land.
I have no feeling in the left side of my body.
Enables men of property, enables these institutions of capital, these institutions of property, to deny the rights of the many. And that's not called democracy in my book.
Well, we've talked of it, but it's important to understand.
Dear God, let it stop!
There are negative reasons, yes, but there are also positive reasons. There are negative reasons, those you are familiar with. Some of you are still invested in that past. Still have too much invested, too much trying to fix it, trying to make it right, trying to be righteous with it.
Dear sir, thank you for your manuscript, but this is to tell you I have no special ends with any editor or publisher, and if I did, I would never deem to tell them who or what to publish. I myself never mailed any of my works to anybody but an editor or a publisher. Granted, these works came back for decades. I still never considered mailing my works to another writer. Believing this writer might help me get published. And although I have read some of what you have mailed me, I return the work without comment, except, where did you get my address and the effrontery to mail me such obvious crap? If you think me unkind, fine. And thank you for telling me what a great writer I am. Now you will have a chance to reevaluate that and to choose another victim.
Yes.
And to get them to admit they're wrong. Too high investment. Others of you still use it to rationalize. Still have too much invested, too much trying to fix it, trying to make it right, trying to be righteous with it, trying to get them to admit they're wrong. Too high investment.
And I'll be there in a few minutes, okay? I'll get that bag tight around your head, watch you struggle, all right?
But you don't know where I live.
No. 213 East 5th Street, apartment number 5.
Send me somebody who's really sweet right now.
All right, sit tight. I'll call you right back.
Okay. But, Hello?
Hey, I'm out on the corner. I was wondering if you needed anything. You know, maybe some Haagen-Dazs, or how about a dozen of those long-stem red roses that you love so much?
Look, why don't you just leave me alone, okay?
Guess what? They're out of the green bags, but I got the blue, and they're the see-through kind. Is that good?
You know what? That sounds really, really good, baby. I think you should get those green baggies and come on over. Because I got something for your ass, you sick motherfucker. I'm going to kill you if you come over here.
That's what I want.
I swear to God, let me
kill you. Why you holding out on me like that?
You come over here and
you all this time you never gave me any of it. Why'd you hold out on me like
that?
That's right.
Oh, it's new metaphysics time. Might as well insert some of that in here.
How are you?
Как вы поживаете?
How are you, Miss Petrova?
Как вы поживаете, госпожа Петрова?
If there's room for an insertion.
Как вы поживаете, госпожа Петрова?
I'm just sort of translating.
Answer: Not very.
Training
well.
Wheels of transcendence. My fave.
Не очень хорошо.
Tell the person that you're American.
Well, you gotta start somewhere.
Я американец.
What does it say about me?
Practice
or
the distinction between masculine and feminine.
If the
Americanец.
Goal of
Americanец.
The game is to transcend.
Американец, американка.
I guess it means we need a fall guy.
Say again. I am an American.
Я американец.
Straw man.
Я американка.
Ask a man.
Straight man.
And you, are you an American?
Thesis.
А вы? Вы американец?
And about 62% of the
а вы?
Antithesis.
А вы?
Thus ready to
now ask a woman if
king
she is
me,
Russian.
My friend.
Вы русская?
King me on the other side of the board for my round trip.
Ask her if she understands English.
Which will not be like the first trip.
Вы понимаете по-английски?
How does she tell you that she doesn't understand English?
Я не понимаю по-английски.
Not even like a side trip.
Только немного.
Be the first on your block
только
to download
немного.
The uncompressed
here's
version of
you speak, listen and repeat.
Вы говорите.
This show.
Рите. Говорите. 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 Вы говорите.
Be the first man on the other side of the board.
Вы говорите.
To not look back in anger.
Say, you understand.
Missing no signal.
Вы
even
понимаете.
Though we've lost 55% of it.
Вы понимаете.
But then again, all trans.
Say again, you speak.
Transits. Once begun in earnest.
Вы говорите.
Must. In some account,
now say, well.
Return back to the checkpoint Charlie and
хорошо.
Transit again.
Try to say, you
thus,
speak English well.
Enshrining said trip
вы говорите
in an annal.
Хорошо.
Thus on the gatekeeper's records.
Вы говорите по-английски хорошо.
Even if Gil Bates is not your
tell Ms.
gatekeeper,
that she speaks English well.
even if you're your own Steve Jobs.
Вы говорите по-английски хорошо,
госпожа
Петрова.
To prepare for transiting on a further projection.
Вы говорите по-английски хорошо.
Otherwise known
as, say, I don't speak very well. Just
how
listen.
To go there, turn around.
I speak. Listen and repeat.
Kiss mom. Hello. And continue on your trip. Without writing home at all. This E.T. is constantly home.
The end of this word for speak sounds like the
no
English
need
word
for the
you.
Script
say again,
doctor.
I speak.
Я говорю.
I mean, the movie
now
pretty much
said,
films
I
itself.
I don't speak very well, or I speak not very well.
First on your block.
Я говорю не очень.
Throw that sucker in the iPod.
Я говорю не очень хорошо.
Or equivalent.
To contradict him, she says, done yet. Listen and
get on some sort of a orthogonal
tell Mr. Gordon,
ambulatory device
well.
And be at home with
Вы
new metaphysics. Never having left the fidelity of the signal line at all. The original dream of digital technology.
Try to ask her.
Unification
but you don't
of all
understand
things.
English.
Но вы не понимаете по-английски.
Suppose she does understand English.
We are now being knighted on that digital journey.
Да нет.
Or the beginnings of the seeds of the.
Да нет.
Pollination of said
I understand a little.
Same. Of course, that's only organic, natural,
понимаю.
Not fucked with bees. Since
now
all
ask,
the
you don't speak English,
marketed
Ms.
bees,
Petrova.
The corporate bees, the industrial bees, the
Вы не говорите
science
по-английски,
бees,
госпожа
and that means even the pure science bees, besides the science flax.
Вы не говорите по-английски.
And hacks.
Contradict him and say, I speak English.
Are fucked with. I never knew they could do so much damage to a bee. Artificially inseminated queens.
Try to
just
say,
for
I don't speak English very well.
Starters.
Literally, I speak English not very well.
Filling in the missing dropouts on that IT song. Finally getting back on path of that song line. Oral history. The journey home that
I understand a little.
Keeps on giving. Since all action is an illusion, even in an illusory virtual reality matrix kind of a virtual reality.
I understand and speak a little. Listen and repeat.
Anything moving is flickering. It's got the max feedback all the way to 11 and a half. Or should I say 11.618.
You just heard.
To be dead center on.
This is used to say A.
In this 0.618 kind of world.
Speak.
Where no symmetry
I speak English and Russian.
Is in the script. Keep the budget on the proper trajectory. From the line producer. He's part Italian, you know. I don't have to tell you.
Do you remember how to ask?
Some of the new ones are from Mother Russia.
with.
Some of our homegrown mafia getting a little soft in the third and a half generation already.
You. When you want to list things without making a comparison, you use E. Say again, I speak English and Russian.
Probably be changing the email address again.
Я говорю по-английски и по-русски.
Kind of a dead letter email thing going on. Although the current one will get here, except it's buried.
I'm not Russian.
Buried in the spam on my inbox.
Я не русский.
Probably be changing the
ask and you
title of the MP3s.
Ask him.
Taking out
are
the hyphens. Just go with the alphanumerics.
Господин Петров.
That those.
Вы американец?
Car
says, no,
MP3
Russian.
Players. Need. A little Gil Batesian going on over there at the
say,
motel.
But you speak English and Russian.
Not enough to get hurt though. I think the guardian angel of authenticity is riding with us.
Succeeded, Robert. I think that's why it's not a really marvelous picture. I think it's
really
a picture with wonderful stuff in it and very interesting. But I don't think it's a successful picture from my point of view. I don't think I ever did get that integration. For instance, about rehearsals. When she came here, she said, Sydney, I can't rehearse. I don't understand this rehearsal. Kill everything spontaneous, which is, by the way, totally untrue. The fact is that you're twice as spontaneous when you've got a base to the performance, when you know what you're doing, because then the fear stops and you're open to whatever happens. She just didn't want to reveal to Marlon or to any other actor what she was going to do with anything. That's really what it was about.
I turn on TV to enjoy myself. I don't believe a word I hear.
The wide variety of new weaponry, including mind control. We need to know about these things.
Trust a man who says Wayne. He's got to be careful not to drink too much.
because he's not to be trusted when he does. Here's to plain speaking and clear understanding. You're a close-mouthed man?
I like to talk.
Better and better. I distrust a close-mouthed man. He generally picks the wrong time to talk and says the wrong things. Talking something you can't do judiciously unless you keep in practice. Now, sir, we'll talk if you like. I tell you right out, I'm a man who likes talking to a man who likes to talk.
Well, will we talk about the blackbird?
You're the man for me, sir. No beating about the bush. Right to the point. Let's talk about the blackbird, by all means. Professor, answer my question. Are you here as Miss O'Shaughnessy's representative?
Well, there's nothing certain either way. It depends.
Depends on? Maybe it depends on Joel Cairo.
Maybe.
The question is, then, which you represent. It'll be one or the other.
I didn't say so.
Who else is it?
There's me.
That's wonderful, sir, wonderful. I do like a man who tells you right after he's looking out for himself. Don't we all? I don't trust a man who says he's not.
Uh-huh. Now let's talk about the blackbird.
Let's.
South by Southwest Music Festival. A total of 750 songs of all genres of contemporary popular music.
There had been a rain.
Has been the way in which the naturally begins to build a set of critical principles that
once the last of the rain had dwindled until only intermittent drops fell from the roofs. Once the last of the rain had dwindled until only intermittent drops fell from the eaves,
probably
and reflected the underlying
brooded. Of his argument on that page, I think, is that it's beautiful even if there was no God, there was a creator. And so here I am, engaged in a formal cultural Darwinism. I downloaded the entire BitTorrent file, and I put it on bit by bit.
How could they be so rational, so useful, or
such clever game players when it came to their own immediate self-interest? Didn't such focus, such clarity, mean that they were faking? And if they were faking, didn't that mean that their problem was all in their head?
Metacritic within me,
or functioning as
whatever principle of taste or judgment that formed the basis.
And that's when I had thoughts like a quiet voice murmuring something like, oh man, another heavy metal screamer, get rid of that one. Or, well, that song had potential until the string section kicked in during the chorus, and now it's gone. Taking it a step further, I guess I also note and develop the general principle of my own taste. It's pretty clear that I don't like most heavy metal screamers, especially the ones that simply consist of playing single chord really loud and coming in on top of our world
and not realizing that there really is a third.
And I don't like
but that song is
okay. What his argument was.
So
anyway, he's basically said, no, we don't have to do that.
Now, the
chances of our laws being
over the by a band of chance,
by the pure
crown and ancient overcoat that I wear to these morning vigils, my old slippers, especially the left one, were badly split. And with long, decisive steps, my hands in the pockets of my posthumous coat, I guess it means that this is the coat he will wear in his coffin,
are simply a refinement and a form of self-knowledge about myself and
and about the songs, I guess, as well. And so I delete the songs I like and keep the ones I don't like. But, you know, it's not that simple. I've always found that being asked whether I like something or don't like something, that being asked that question makes me uncomfortable. It throws the focus on myself instead of on the thing that's being discussed.
From Adam. Why do you have to make me your father confessor? Why? Why did you stop? Jesus, why? Because you asked.
What's wrong with mules? They're sterile. All right? Because they are a cross between horses and donkeys.
If you're working in a for-profit company in that's, the Anglo-American
well,
system
sterile
of
anyway.
Capitalism.
I don't know why they're sterile, but that's where their origin is. They can't reproduce themselves. All right?
If you're working in a for-profit company in the Anglo-American system of capitalism.
And mulattoes are also natural, but in, as Dixon and Griffith imagine it, in the other direction. That is, mulattoes have no control over their sexuality.
If you're working in a for-profit company in the Anglo-American system of capitalism.
And in Birth of a Nation, Griffith took an historical character, a woman named Lydia Hamilton Smith, changed her name slightly to Lydia Brown, and showed her in Birth of a Nation as the most critical figure in precipitating the Civil War. You see, she was the mistress of a powerful congressman.
Spade, S-P-A-D-E.
Crazy with jealousy. I phoned them if they went there, they'd learn something about Miles' murder.
What made you think of that?
I was mad, Sam. I wanted to hurt you.
Did you tell them who you were when you phoned?
Oh, no, Sam, dearest.
Where'd you phone from?
The drugstore across from your place.
You better hurry along home and think of something to tell the police. You'll be hearing from them. And by the way, where were you the night Miles was murdered?
Home? I was.
No, but if that's your story, it's all right with me. Now, you run along.
A radical Republican congressman. Historically, his name was Sumner. But in the film, Griffith changed his name. But gave us enough hints as to who he was. Sumner had a club foot, so the character in the film has a club foot. Sumner had a brown Mrs. or mistress and named Lydia Smith, and there's Lydia Brown. Well, Lydia Brown in the film, without any particular reason, goes into sexual orgasmic motions.
At the beginning of the scene where Deckard digitally scans Leon's snapshot into the Esper, two intrusive shafts of light come streaking in through Blade Runner's apartment window. The illumination source for these beams was xenon spotlights, commonly used for night advertising and sporting events.
The Esper itself was the largest prop built by EEG's Mark Stetson and his miniature-making Blade Runner model crew. This machine was supposed to be Deckard's personal in-apartment extension of the police department's own Esper machine, a construct described in the 1982 Blade Runner production notes as a high-density computer with a very powerful three-dimensional resolution capacity and cryogenic cooling system, which can analyze and enlarge photos, enabling investigators to search a room without even being there.
Hard copy right there.
New metaphysics. New metaphysics with Gary Keiserman. www.newmetaphysics.com. Download MP3s of these shows at www.newmetaphysics.com.
So yes, we're back, and as you can tell, we're talking about something special. We're calling it Paper Cinema. And really what it is we're talking about, in this episode, episode number 16 of the Hollywood Saloon, we're talking about film books, really behind-the-scene film books.
Well, going back to the old-school method, I mean, before the Internet, whenever you wanted to learn about movies, these are the type of books that were available to sort of educate. Head with fantastic stories or harsh realities. These were the building blocks of inspiration.
Absolutely.
If you're working in a for-profit company in the Anglo-American system of capitalism,
you can stay all night and play with my TV. TV is the thing this year. TV is the thing this year. Radio's great, but it's not a date. TV is the thing this year. Last night I was watching four time mix. My TV broke and I was in a fix. I got on the phone, called my man and said, "Kid, kid, daddy, it's fast. TV is the thing this year. Radio is great, but it's out of date. TV is the thing this year."
Of course, up until a year ago.
Does that make me bad? Does that make me a whore?
Well, do you feel it makes you bad, Leisha?
Hi, I'm Mandy. I'm 6 years old, you know.
Huh? What?
It's my birthday tomorrow. I want a pony. I want a pony for my birthday.
You're a child, huh? Well, listen, I don't think a pony's such a good idea here in the city, Mandy. Listen, I was talking to a girl before you. I got to talk to her again.
Mary wants to talk to you.
Huh?
Mary, the lady who works at the library.
Oh, yeah, I remember her from last week, huh? I don't like her. Tell her I'm not here.
Hello, doctor.
Oh, Mary. Mary, how are you? How are things down at the library?
Oh, I love it in the library.
Listen.
The library has order.
I got to ask you a question.
So quiet in the library.
I know a girl, but I can't get a hold of her.
What?
From before, whose name I can't quite remember.
This might just do nobody any good. At the end of this discourse, a few people may accuse this reporter of fouling his own comfortable nest. And your organization may be accused of having given hospitality to heretical and even dangerous ideas. But the elaborate structure of networks, advertising agencies, and sponsors will not be shaken or altered. It is my desire, if not my duty, to try to talk to you journeymen with some candor about what is happening to radio and television. And if what I say is responsible, I alone am responsible for the saying of it. Our history will be what we make of it. And if there are any historians about 50 or 100 years from now, and there should be preserved the kinescopes of 1 week of all three networks. They will there find, recorded in black and white and in color, evidence of decadence, escapism, and insulation from the realities of the world in which we live. We are currently wealthy, fat, comfortable, and complacent. We have a built-in allergy to unpleasant or disturbing information. Our mass media reflect this. But unless we get up off our fat surpluses and recognize that television, in the main, is being used to distract, delude, amuse, and insulate us, then television and those who finance it, those who look at it, and those who work at it, may see a totally different picture too late.
And a force of nature in a room, and a force of nature as an act.
I turn on TV to enjoy myself. I don't believe a word I hear.
You don't believe a word?
I will not accept a thing given to me by the television set as a value, as an aesthetic, as a truth.
You can repeat this bar, you know, let's say anywhere from 5 to 15 times. I don't want you to count those number of times. I want you to feel, well, that's clear, now I'm going to move ahead.
Contradiction to ask the very legal system and political system that gave away the store to corporations to fix it. In the United States, what passes for a legal and political system today is very undemocratic and always has been. And what we're coming to believe and have for some while now is that this nation was never designed to be a democracy. And that's a very different thing from trying to recover something lost. So, if one acknowledges that the Constitution was essentially set up by propertied white men to protect their property, and that the great majority of people in the United States had to struggle and continue to for full inclusion, full personhood, then you can understand the primacy, the primary importance of property and its protection over people.
All the notes are maybe not a half step, but maybe a 1/8 of a step, just out of tune in the proper chromatic order. And I like that sound. You know, most people come in and go, I need to tune the keyboard, or I need to tune the piano, or tune the guitar. I like it when it's detuned, because that means it's not in the musical harmony according to the theory of music, but yet it has a harmony of its own.
Some odd stuff. I mean, just think of all the things we've never thought of. Yeah. Ooh, strange stuff, thoughts. This whole city is woven together with this stuff. Webby thoughts. Well, if I trigger this, the snouts will be all over me. Slow it down, Ruby. But don't exhaust yourself.
The question that drives our writing during this time is what has been left unfinished, that we can no longer process together, and yet we each need to finish. We can't assure that the other person is doing anything about this, but we can certainly assure that we walk our own path. Follow the stages that I laid out about reconciliation, but write instead with a vision of clear boundary and breakup, coming to peace with each other.
We have your interpretation of it. Is that a fair way to put it, Scott, numerically in the center?
Well, yes, sir. And, you know, I'd like to say that this was the only way that I could think of to introduce this concept to the world, because numbers are our global language, and crop circles have this mystique to them that nothing else I could have done. I couldn't buy a page in a newspaper or magazine or TV spot to create the momentum that this crop circle has in countries around the world. The emails I'm already receiving are mind-boggling, and the response from the people in that arena has been fascinating. And so when he said that about the experiences that they had when they were making this for me, it's sort of how I feel in my mind. I mean, it just makes perfect sense. It's so logical. It's burned into my brain.
For the Hip Hop Nation, pretty much the first introduction to real sampling that we've ever seen was this episode of The Cosby Show, when Stevie Wonder runs over the Huxtables' car with his limousine. Well, not that violent, but he invites them to a studio session, and for the first time, America got to see the process of sampling, in which you say something and it's repeated back to you. And after me and my friend saw that episode, we were begging for whatever that machine was called. We didn't know what it was called. Like, in our heads, it was sort of like the Flintstone episode where, you know, like the little bird is inside of the machine and recreating the noise, and we didn't know how in the world that happened. So just during Christmas, Casio happened to make a product called an SK-1 machine, which allowed you about maybe 3 or 4 seconds worth of sampling time. Me and all my friends got this little toy keyboard for Christmas, and you know, you mess around with it a little while, you do like all the curse words, you know, and all that stuff, and then you start getting serious about it. And that's when I would like run to the basement where my drum set was and try and cram in 8 bars worth of drum breaks within 3 seconds, which, you know, you have to be pretty fast to do it. And then I realized the endless possibilities of a sampler.
It's almost killing time, and I better get sharp. I check the list. Rubber tubing, gas, saw, gloves, cuffs, razor wire, hatchet, and my mitts.
Thank you.
I am lost in space.
Forget it. It's a farce. The great actors, the great poets, the great statesmen, the great painters, the great directors, the great loves. It's a farce, a farce, a farce. History and the recording of it. Forget it, forget it. You must begin all over again. Throw all that out, all of them out. You are alone with now. Look at your fingernails, touch your nose, begin. The light flings itself upon you.
You announcer.
Dizzle-tirly.
How are you now?
I'm as mad as a hatter.
Who is it? I'm going to take you into our conference room. Seems more seemly a setting for what I have to say to you. I started as a salesman, Mr. Beale. I sold sewing machines and automobile parts, hairbrushes and electronic equipment. They say I can sell anything. I'd like to try to sell something to you.
Great show.
Good work.
Valhalla, Mr. Beale. Please sit down.
Bring it to a stop. That's it.
Good evening. Mr. Edward R. Murrow, Educational Director of the Columbia Broadcasting System, devoted his program to an attack on the work of the United States Senate Investigating Committee and on me personally as its chairman.
We release the catch. Always watch for the catch.
Now, over the past 4 years, he has made repeated attacks upon me and those fighting communists. And of course, neither Joe McCarthy nor Edward R. Murrow is of any great importance as individuals. We are only important in our relation to the great struggle to preserve our American liberties. Now, ordinarily, Ordinarily, I would not take time out from the important work at hand to answer Murrow. However, in this case, I feel justified in doing so because Murrow is the symbol, the leader, and the cleverest of the jackal pack, which is always found at the throat.
Nice work. Now, slip down into the tubes of the city.
Of anyone who dares to expose individual communists and traitors. And I am compelled by the facts to say to you that Mr. Edward R. Murrow, as far back as 20 years ago, was engaged in propaganda for communist causes. For example, the Institute of International Education, of which he was the acting director, was chosen to act as a representative by a Soviet agency to do a job which would normally be done by the Russian secret police.
Thirdly, to grow as a consciousness, whether you want to be a spiritual person or not, to grow as a consciousness, to evolve, is also predicated on lifting yourself out of and abandoning the realm of domination, the realm of domination, and moving into it, the realm of dominion. To become one is the phrase, whether you are wanting to be spiritual or not. There are all those who are involved in growing through all ages have spoken of in various vague and explicit terms about becoming one with all that is, one with the oneness. The oneness. Well, what is that oneness?
It's a picture of a yellow boat, and the title is Yellow Boat Minor Chord. And I hear a minor chord when I look at the image. I tried to figure out why, and the best way I can explain it is to compare it to a picture of a major chord. And I have a picture of a sunset. It was that I took very early on when I first started taking photographs, before I was even focused on reflections. And as the sun was setting above the horizon, it made a bar of light that's kind of a yellow that turns into a pink that has a little bit of a tinge of red. And for whatever reason, that bar of light creates a major chord. So if I compare that to the picture of the minor chord, I would say that the difference is in the colors. It's probably also in the shapes, but it's definitely in the colors.
What is that all that is? We refer to it as a phrase, God, Goddess, all that is, to become one with that. Now, your religious background, regardless of where it comes from, east or west, north or south, has as its base that God is everything. From the tiniest blade of grass to the most magnificent whatever, it is all God. Your metaphysics teach you that you are God, that God is within. Every religion, regardless of how they may differ in the manifestation of that God, all agree that it is within and it is everywhere.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, Mr. Beale, and I won't have it! Is that clear? You think you merely stopped a business deal? That is not the case. The Arabs have taken billions of dollars out of this country, and now they must put it back! It is ebb and flow, tidal gravity, it is ecological balance. You are an old man who thinks in terms of nations and peoples. There are no nations. There are no peoples. There are no Russians. There are no Arabs. There are no third worlds. There is no West. There is only one holistic system of systems. One vast and immane, interwoven, interacting, multivariate, multinational dominion of dollars. Petrodollars, electrodollars, multidollars, Reichmarks, rands, rubles, pounds, and shekels. It is the international system of currency which determines the totality of life on this planet. That is the natural order of things today. That is the atomic and subatomic and galactic structure of things today. And you have meddled with the primal forces of nature. And you will atone. Am I getting through to you, Mr. Beale?
She talks about arriving at the airport and get back to his place. She says it was a wonderful dump of a place, one quarter of a wall painted, as he described it, shit brown.
Whoever was painting gave up right in the middle of the wall. There was a couch, coffee table, chair, and television, and everything was dark because it was old. We were pretty quiet, and then because I was extremely nervous, I turned to the familiar. I unzipped his pants, took off my jeans, and sat on this curved purple dick that I had read so often about. It wasn't curved nor purple, but I wouldn't have cared if it was. I just wanted relief from my fear, and while this may not be everyone's solution to shyness, it had long been mine. I said, "Mr. Bukowski?" I looked up and he said, "Oh my God," he said. "Come along, granddaughter." That was the first thing he said. I needed to check in and see how my daughter Anna and her dad were doing. And that's the night I couldn't reach them. Then I began to get these trembles, and they wouldn't stop, and they're pretty strong trembles. So we got into bed, and he just held me really tightly, and he was big and warm, and it seemed like it helped a lot. And that was where I got the title for my little memoir. That after the tremble stopped, it just seemed like the thing to do was to go down to him. Women search often through men, it seems to me, especially my generation. And I wouldn't want my daughters to do that. I would like them to have more self-esteem. It was pretty painful why he would write that. He talked about our sexual experiences and how he crams the penis down my throat and daydream about something else and this and that. And, oh, he left out the part about holding me when I was scared about my daughter and making love to me in the night, that first night. He left those things out. I've realized he is just a human being with a lot of emotional problems. When you first become a fan of this man, you don't think about those things as much. You just think he feels the same pain I feel. And oh, I love him because of that. And he expresses it. And you don't think about the fact that he wanted money and he wanted fame and so on.
Coming from one direction, the palace, the heart and mind of Zumzam.
New metaphysics with Gary Geiserman. www.newmetaphysics.com. Download MP3s of these shows at www.newmetaphysics.com.
spade. Have you any conception of how much money can be got for that blackbird?
No.
Well, sir, if I told you, half, you'd call me a liar.
No, not even if I thought so. But you tell me what it is, and I'll figure out the profit.
You mean you don't know what the bird is?
Oh, I know what it's supposed to look like. And I know the value in human life you people put on it.
She didn't tell you what it did? Cairo didn't either?
He offered me $10,000 for it.
$10,000, mind you, not even pounds. Do they know what that bird is? What is your impression?
Well, there's not very much to go by. Cairo didn't say he didn't. He didn't say he didn't. She said she didn't, but I took it for granted she was lying.
Not an injudicious thing to do.
It's how you see that creates what you see.
Sister Halopo?
Do you understand thought forms?
What I think is what I'm going to see. Wait a minute. We've already done this.
Your thoughts create and also attract other thoughts that also create.
Yeah, okay. Ooh. This is getting too real.
Father Mojo sent you? Father Mojo sent you? Father Mojo sent you? I wonder why.
Thought forms, huh?
Hello, Ruby.
Monet. You?
If they don't know, I'm the only one in the whole wide, sweet world who does.
Well, when you told me, that'll make two of us.
Mathematically correct, sir. But I don't know for certain that I'm going to tell you.
Oh, it'll be foolish. You know what it is. I know where it is. That's why I'm here.
Where is it? Where is it? You see, I must tell you what I know. But you won't tell me what you know. It's hardly equitable, sir. No, no. I don't think we can do business along those lines.
I'll think again and think fast. I told that gunslinger of yours you'd have to talk to me before you're through. I'm telling you now, you'll talk to me today or you're through. What are you wasting my time for? I can get along without you. And another thing, keep that gunslinger out of my way while you're making up your mind. I'll kill him if you don't. I'll kill him.
Well, sir, I must say you have a most violent temper.
Think it over. You've got till 5 o'clock.
Then you're either in or out. Or keeps.
Others of you still use it to rationalize, to explain away your actions, to nobilize, to justify. The reason I'm this way is because you see in my past. Rather than telling the truth, the reason I'm this way is because I'm creating myself being this way, because I want to be this way. No, I'd rather rationalize, nobilize, justify, and explain, and I throw my past up as my cover, as my camouflage, as sand in your face. Some of you are locked into that backdrop that we have mentioned and have talked about, encourage you to review. Others of you like it, yes, indeed, you want to use it. You like your past, you want to live there, you want to stay there, and therefore letting go of it seems to be quite repugnant, certainly so.
They had started first with Hear It Now, and then moved into See It Now, which Ed was very dubious about.
He resisted going from Hear It Now to See It Now, because he felt that the word was all, that it went directly to a different kind of mental processing of information than the good-looking, attractive seduction of color and image.
I think he felt that the camera invaded to such an extent that, particularly in those days with huge equipment and lights and so forth, that it changed the story, and that on radio you didn't have to change the story when you arrived.
If he had been born in Beverly Hills in an upper middle class family and went to Beverly High and been good looking and had beautiful skin, he would have been one of our great comedy writers. He just has that knack. Perfect timing, the perfect punchline. He knows just when to go after it and when to step back. And he would have been a great comedy writer, but I'm glad he wasn't.
And actually, the real question here is not so much whether I like it right now, or whether I. But the question,
Carl Hayes is, I wish I had States of Love, which is, you know, a song about
this song,
a songwriter who is leaving Nashville. I think there are plenty of songs written in his name.
Was the whole idea
because he probably didn't make it there, and he just got drunk.
The whole set of ideas,
and it's just a really beautiful, strongly written.
The little person watching to the cameras of the eyes and listening through the stereo system of the ears, the ghost in the organic machine, the pilot of the ship. And this homunculus was not only in my head, but in my entire world view up until that moment. Growing up in the Catholic schools, I guess I'd been inculcated with the idea of the soul and the body being such profoundly different things. It was part of the definition, an essential definition of what we ought to be then to find that they would resume their original path. But this punk right away, impossible.
Death metal.
It can only be partially applied,
right?
And even when it is applied, there will still be somebody's which will not
sing, but write cliché lyrics. The songs that have sappy choruses, that's a huge criteria. The rap songs that advocate violence toward women. And the pompous, overproduced imitations of British pop music. And, you know, the somber... some of those songs I end up listening to quite a while because there's something interesting about them, but they keep going and they get more and more somber, and eventually I just have to quit.
Get up on your little 21-inch screen and howl about America and democracy. There is no America. There is no democracy. There is only IBM and ITT and AT&T and DuPont, Dow, Union Carbide, and Exxon. Those are the nations of the world today. What do you think the Russians talk about in their councils of state? Karl Marx? They get out their linear programming charts, statistical decision theories, min-max solutions, and compute the price-cost probabilities of their transactions and investments, just like we do. We no longer live in a world of nations and ideologies, Mr. Beale. The world is a college of corporations, inexorably determined by the immutable bylaws of business. The world is a business, Mr. Beale. It has been since man crawled out of the slime. And our children will live, Mr. Beale, to see that perfect world in which there's no war or famine, oppression or brutality. One vast and ecumenical holding company for whom all men will work to serve a common profit, in which all men will hold a share of stock, all necessities provided, all anxieties tranquilized, all boredom amused. And I have chosen you, Mr. Beale, to preach this evangel.
Why me?
Because you're on television, dummy. 60 million people watch you every night of the week, Monday through Friday.
I have seen the face of God.
You just might be right, Mr. Beale.
we always wrote dual dialogue in, on every page, so pages were full. And then under that, we wanted to get even have more. So we wanted to feel, just wanted to feel real, like guys really were in the room talking, and everybody's talking over each other.
And that sort of cryptic humor, the sort of an Altman-esque ish to it, which is that you don't wait for somebody to finish talking before you start talking, because that always made us crazy.
None of the men in the film wore makeup, which was George's choice, and I think a good one.
I wore some eyeliner and a little lip gloss.
But that wasn't in the film.
That was on my way in. I had to wash that off before we started. No, you know, I feel like you wanted this, again, to have that documentary feel, so you wanted really to have nobody made up.
And it's what you do. If you want to know more and you want to dig deeper and you want to find out more, that's what you do. You go, I mean, for me, when we were in school, it was...
Others of you are still using it as a resource, for its resources, certainly so. Still relying upon those old, now beaten down and downtrodden assets become liabilities.
You know, just go to the library, you know, and there was that whole entertainment section with, and there was just an endless amount of books. Mm-hmm. And we'll get into that. But, you know, before we jump into this episode, I just want to make a quick announcement. And, you know, like I said, we're back from our, you know, pseudo hiatus, and we've been gone for about a month and a half. We had to get some new equipment. We got some stuff. We got some stuff in order.
The harm to the environment is a function of the industrial process itself.
So we're definitely coming back in there, full throttle, and we just wanted to give you guys something new as a thank you for hanging with us. It's granted, taken,
desired, and forsaken. So you don't have to manipulate anymore. You don't have to go into martyr. You don't have to play your shame numbers. You don't have to do the pity or hide behind your guilt and behind your feelings of undeserving. You don't have to do the saboteur's number to get what you want. What particular moment I was shown to you. I never got that second chance to make a first impression. But I remember the first time I realized I had two weapons. A dangerous thought level capacity with the audacity to attract the classy and the trashy with the hopes to unmask me. We dance the way we learn through conditioning. Did I say dance? I meant communicate. Another thing worth mentioning is how we mate. I mean create mathematical templates. It's innate how we spin plates and eat from them. How can we be condemned when it's critical to remain constant? I mean make incredible comments with no intent to convince.
To restrain the prince of the land, the king of the castle. So what do we do about this Beale son of a bitch?
She wasn't told suppose we'll have to kill him. That anybody knows. I mean, she goes to shows that no one would oppose. But we would appreciate less stresses to alleviate. I mean, elevate us all to a place where we relate or recreate by dissecting the concept of separate and become enchanted as we animate the environment we habitate and don't have to wait. It's granted and taken, desired and forsaken. You couldn't find this type of devotion even if you paid men and let them serve dual purposes, appear for more services. The first time's never enough to balance out the worth of this. It's granted and taken, desired and forsaken. You couldn't find this type of devotion even if you paid men and let them serve dual purposes, appear for more services. The first time's never enough to balance out the worth of this.
Corporations are governing entities. They make the rules. That is contrary to the theory of governance in the United States. It's contrary to the ideals of the Declaration of Independence and to all the work that people in every generation have done in order to wrest power from the few and distribute it among the many. And none of those issues are raised. Nobody's asking, well, how do you feel about capital and property, an institution of capital and property, wielding the rights of persons? And the General Motors Corporation speaks. It drowns out the rights of people. When people go to work for any corporation, as soon as you cross over onto corporate property, you have no constitutional rights in the United States. You have no freedom of speech. You have no due process. You have no equal protection. And again, if you violate something, let's say some folks within a corporation, they want to start putting some signs on the walls where they want to start having meetings. Well, the corporate leaders, you know, they'll call the sheriff. And it is the state that will come and remove these people and say, you are violating the law.
That evening, Howard Beale went on the air to preach the corporate cosmology of Arthur Jensen.
Here and asked you people to stand up and fight for your heritage, and you did, and it was beautiful. 6 million telegrams were received at the White House. The Arab takeover of CCA has been stopped. The people spoke, the people won. It was a radiant eruption of democracy. But I think that was it, fellas. That sort of thing is not likely to happen again. Because at the bottom of all our terrified souls, we know that democracy is a dying giant, a sick, sick, dying, decaying political concept writhing in its final pain. I don't mean that the United States is finished as a world power. The United States is the richest, the most powerful, the most advanced country in the world, light years ahead of any other country. And I don't mean the communists are going to take over the world, because the communists are deader than we are. What is finished is the idea that this great country is dedicated to the freedom and flourishing of every individual in it.
It's not the large things that send a man to a madhouse. Death he's ready for, or murder, incest, robbery, fire, flood. No, it's a continuing series of small tragedies that send a man to the madhouse. Not the death of his love, but a shoelace that snaps with no time left. With each broken shoelace, out of 100 broken shoelaces, one man, one woman, one thing enters a madhouse. So be careful when you bend over.
Have meditation, you have metaphysics, you have a higher self and unseen friends, and you have all kinds of co-creators. You have all kinds of techniques that were not available then. You have all kinds of resources, but if you continue to use the old ones, well, yeah, I know I could meditate, but I think I'll just control instead. You know, I think I could process this and visualize, but I think I'll just cry and curl up in a little ball until someone comes along and fixes it for me. You know, I want to use my child adolescent resources, and therefore I want to hang on to the past. Some of you hold on to for the if only. The if only. If only I hadn't had this. If only this had happened instead. If only that. If only this. If only this or the other. Or neither or neither.
It's the individual that's finished. It's the single, solitary human being that's finished. It's every single one of you out there that's finished. Because this is no longer a nation of independent individuals. It's a nation of some 200-odd million transistorized, deodorized, whiter than white, steel belted bodies, totally unnecessary as human beings.
She had like
Hey, Doc, what's up? I'm Bob.
Bob! Yeah, I remember you're a guy or something,
right?
Yeah,
let me
right?
tell you something, Doc. You know, it's not easy being a guy
Damn,
nowadays.
What was her name?
I guess it's just not politically correct to like watching a football game, downing a six-pack.
It was Leisha. It was Leisha. Hey, Bob, shut up for a second. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to get Leisha. Do you see her around?
Leisha?
Bring her over. I got to talk to her. We have some very
My
important...
My doctor, I don't believe we've met. And Brenda.
Brenda.
Being filled with rage, Doctor.
Oh.
Rage against the whole cold machine of life.
Yeah.
Rage against how it makes me cold inside.
Listen, let me talk to the whore.
But my rage is like a fire that
comes out
of
the machine. The whore that I was talking to earlier.
I am filled
Leisha.
With that rage now.
Leisha, she never
and
gave me a last name.
When I'm filled with that rage, I have to do something.
How do you have to do?
Do you know what I have to do, Doctor?
No idea. I don't have any idea. I really would rather talk to,
I have to kill.
The girl from earlier. Well, kill, that's of course, yeah, unacceptable in this society. You can't kill someone.
I am going
someone.
To kill Leisha.
No, you don't want to kill Leisha. Leisha!
And as replaceable as piston rods. Well, the time has come to say, is dehumanization such a bad word? If it's good or bad, that's what is so. The whole world is becoming humanoid, creatures that look human but aren't. The whole world, not just us, we're just the most advanced country, so we're getting there first. The whole world's people are becoming mass-produced, programmed, numbered, insensate things.
It was a perfectly admissible argument that Howard Beale advanced in the days that followed. It was, however, also a very depressing one. Nobody particularly cared to hear his life was utterly valueless.
Luke.
By the end of the first week in June, the Howard Beale Show had dropped
Luke.
1 point in the ratings, and its trend of shares dipped under 48 for the first time since last November.
Science is becoming the cutting-edge tool in the hands of corporations for profits.
And given that it's the cutting-edge tool, not only are they taking over the public spaces of research and takeover of entire departments in universities, is a very, very good example, where public tax money pays the salaries of scientists, but a tiny amount of $1 million makes the entire output of that lab the property of a Monsanto. But the third category is actually the most disgusting category, where third-rate scientists, and I deal with them all the time, who do no science, who just do propaganda, who are merely mouthpieces, who have a degree behind their names, but what they deal with and what they debate with you is not the content, not the scientific content of the subject matter, but attacks, personal attacks. My website has been hacked and linked to a porn site. That's part of a scientific warfare. It's scientists who announced that I run a pornographic site. There's scientists who write that the planet will be saved by plastics and pesticides. These are prostitutes who have sold themselves and their time. The only reason we even give them an ear is because we have been trained over two centuries to respect a degree so heavily. I think it's time for people to listen to content, not bother about whether someone has a PhD before or after their names, and definitely not get convinced by corporate propaganda. There are ways in which the same message can be the reason for brainwashing you, but the same message, if your mind is trained right, can be the place from where you lift falsehoods and pick new strategies of defending the truth and defending people and their rights. You can talk to them, but that talking counts for nothing. The real place which counts is how we change the structures of accountability and governance and the powers and rights of people.